Let's bring in our special guest from the Cougar IMG Sports Network. He is the color analyst for that network. He's also a former BYU basketball star. He's the funniest man on Twitter. He's also a real estate lawyer. How many real estate lawyer jokes, or just lawyer jokes in general, do you hear on a weekly basis, Mark Durant?
Well, hey, guys. Fortunately for me, you know, being 6'7", 280, people are hesitant to want to upset me. But I've heard my fair share of lawyer jokes. I think they're pretty funny, actually. So if you got any, you know, fire away.
I don't want to make you angry, but you're not 280. Come on. You're 280.
I'm to the point now where people don't ask me if I played basketball. They ask me if I was an offensive lineman. So I'm getting up there. I'm working to get on the Biggest Loser so I can meet some of those good-looking trainers, but female trainers, that is.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure. Let's make sure that's clear, the female trainers. Mark, you brought it up. Did you ever wonder what would have happened had you played maybe left tackle, you know, with that footwork, your savvy on the court, maybe that could translate over onto the football field?
I don't know if you ever knew James Johnson. He played on the offensive line, but he played basketball with me at Provo High, and he was an amazing basketball player. And they got him. They put on a bunch of weight when he got to college. He was on the offensive line, did a great job. But at least my frame at the time, man, I would eat and eat and eat, and I was rail thin. I could not do it. But probably taught me some bad eating habits back then when there were no consequences. And I have no problem putting on the weight now.
There's still plenty of time to have you to stick with your New Year's resolution. I think both Gurney and I, we've kind of put those New Year's resolutions in the closet. Maybe we'll come back. They'll come back next year. But I'll tell you what, the BYU Cougars had a really nice resolution 6 games ago, right? They're on a 6-game winning streak right now, and one of the biggest wins in BYU basketball history, one of the biggest upsets, I would say, number 3 team in the Kennel, 41-game winning streak there, and I don't know how the Cougs did it. I don't know if it was more of a product of Gonzaga maybe playing below their average. They shot 43% from the field. Typically, they're shooting 52%, or if it was just BYU playing up to its potential. What do you think?
Probably a little bit of both. I think Gonzaga just assumed that they would win, and why not? I mean, they've done it 41 times in a row, handled BYU at the Marriott Center, and looked like they were going to go undefeated in conference this year, really no threat to them. And so why not think you're just going to win? They're a very good number 2 team in the country. But I think clearly after 5 or 6 minutes, they knew that BYU was really coming after them, and they needed to play, and they played well. But I thought no question in my mind, BYU was tougher, and that makes me really happy to say, because sometimes I wonder what kind of mental toughness and just nastiness that BYU can bring, and they brought it the other night. It was awesome to watch. They took it right at Gonzaga right off the bat. Get to the free throw line because they're taking it hard to the hoop, pushing guys around, getting into guys. I mean, it was a beauty to behold. I love it when BYU plays that way. And they just out-hustled, out-fought, out-toughed, whatever you want to say, Gonzaga. And that's saying a lot, because that's a big, strong, talented team. And BYU just took it to them. And it was fun to have a front row seat there in that arena, which is a great, great basketball environment, and the fans are going crazy, and it's loud, and BYU was not the least bit in awe of that. They weren't nervous. They came out and just took it to Gonzaga. It was really cool.
Give me tangible evidence. Give me some examples. I mean, you're courtside, Mark. I mean, we don't see what you see. We don't see the speed of the game's different than when we're watching it on TV. So give me, you know, a player, a situation. You talk about toughness, tenacity, effort. Who stepped up? What did you see on the court that makes you believe those things?
So Kyle Wiltshire had, I think, 24 in the Marriott Center, and He was getting a lot of his touches around the free throw line. You know, he's a three guy, maybe a four sometimes, depending on where they want to play him. But he's a really, really difficult matchup because he's so long and athletic. BYU can't match that. And they came out with a game plan where they go off a high screen from Wiltshire, and it's a pick and roll, basically, and they have to switch it, or else a guy like Pangos or someone's going to have an open shot. So that means that whether it's Frank Bartley or Skylar Halford or Tyler Haas, they're having to switch, and then Wiltshire posts him up, and they just got into him, and they were all over him. He could not get a touch, and he was extremely frustrated. And these are, I mean, it was almost comical at times. One time, Skylar Halford was guarding Karnowski. Karnowski's 7'1", and Skylar is just, it looked comical, and yet they couldn't get into Karnowski because Skylar was just getting in his face, and it was so beautiful to watch. And then, you know, a guy like Kyle's your point guard, we all know he can rebound, but the last part of the game, he got two huge rebounds amongst the 7-footers for Gonzaga, muscled it up and scored it. I mean, they out-rebounded Gonzaga, created turnovers, they got to the free throw line much more. I mean, it's just evident that they were not scared at all and really took it to them.
Hey, Mark, I was having this debate on Twitter after the game, and I can't recollect a regular season win, with all things considered, that was more significant or bigger than the win against Gonzaga. You've been around the program for a long time. What would be comparable to this win, and is it maybe the biggest win you can think of?
Well, we researched this, and once Greg brought it up to me, I remember watching it because my brother played in the game, but BYU went to UCLA, I think this was back in 1981.
You'd have to go that far back, though.
Yeah, how rare it was, and they went on the road to UCLA, who was number two at the time, and beat them. But, it's very rare that you ever even get to play a team that highly ranked. And then when you do, I mean, it's rare that you're going to win. I said it at the time, once the game had ended, that it might be the greatest regular season win for BYU. And certainly it's up top five or so, and you could argue that it is the best, unless you're going, like, way back when. I can't speak for games before about 1978, but since then, I can't recall it. As far as the magnitude of the win, maybe what it meant for your postseason, I think it gets BYU in unless they messed up. And the fact that the winning streak and all those things that BYU had going against them to go in there and get that win, it may be the best regular season win for BYU.
I think it's crazy that Haas had probably one of his worst games of his senior season. The most consistent player in my mind in BYU history. He's up there. How did BYU win without him putting up a 20-point performance in your mind?
Well, Tyler's had tough games there, and it's not by accident. He had a 2-point game, had his worst game ever there one time. And listen, Mark Few may be the best coach out there. He's certainly got the highest winning percentage of any coach right now. Active coach, and so he knows how to win, and he knows how to stop guys, so he does a good job game planning for Tyler, but what BYU did well this time is when you take things away from a team like BYU, if you take Tyler away, you need to devote a significant amount of resources to do that. When you do that, other guys will have opportunities. In the past, BYU has not taken advantage of that, but the other guys did step up. You had a lot of balanced scoring. Ed Schuyler hit some huge shots. Chase Fisher hit some shots. Anson Winder was good. You had four or five guys in double figures. And so BYU did a good job of taking advantage of what Gonzaga left them when they devoted so much time and attention to Tyler. That's a compliment to Tyler, obviously. But, you know, you have to get guys that will be willing to step up and play. And it's tough in those types of environments. Kafusi, I thought, played great. Ryan Anders came in, hit some big shots, free throws at the end. These are big-time plays from guys that aren't maybe used to being in the spotlight like Tyler is, and it's hard to come through in those situations, and BYU's guys did it.
Mark Durant, former BYU basketball star and color analyst for the Cougar IMG Sports Network here on Cougar Sports ESPN 960.
Yeah, Mark, now the Cougars have to look forward to the West Coast Conference tournament, a tournament they haven't had a lot of success in. What are kind of the reasons you've seen for maybe BYU not playing up to its potential in some of the years? And what does BYU need to do to overcome that and really make some noise in the tournament, go to the championship game, and maybe win the thing?
Yeah, it's a head-scratcher that BYU over the years hasn't done better in conference tournaments, given the number of championships they've won and the players they've had through there. But I think they're in a good position this year. I think they're finally getting healthy. They figured out their rotations, getting good postman production. All the defense is good, rebounding. Those are the weaknesses for BYU and really are turning into strengths. So I think they're uniquely positioned this year to do it. I think their side of the bracket is very favorable. But part of the reason you don't win conference tournaments is because Gonzaga's participating, for one. They're really good. And before that, it was the UNLV on their home court. It just hasn't seemed to work out well for BYU, and it may not work out if they get to the finals against Gonzaga this year. I don't know if BYU can beat them again. I think if you had an element of surprise the other night, Gonzaga will be ready to play, no question, in a conference championship. But the reality is BYU's got to come out. They're going to play a 7-10, which doesn't really concern you other than the fact that those two teams will have played a game already in that building, and maybe that helps you a little bit. But then you're going to play St. Mary's likely. I think those are winnable games for BYU, and if they can do that, I think they'll be in the NCAA tournament regardless of whether or not they win the championship. But, man, it would be nice to see them cut down some nets and win a conference tournament championship for once.
The close games that BYU has had this year versus competitive opponents, I feel like in the final 5-6 minutes, BYU becomes a little bit discombobulated. Like, they don't know what they want in those last possessions offensively, not getting very high percentage shots or getting the shots that they typically want out of their offense. And momentum tends to go to the opposing team. Is this a situational thing that BYU just needs to practice more? When they have time in practice, I've been to the practice. They get a lot of reps in. They look tremendous, right? They get momentum in games, but it seems like they're a little bit lost in those final minutes.
You know, the last few minutes of a game are interesting to study. I think it's critical to have success to have a guy that you know is going to go get you the baskets. A guy on your team, we're going to run this play, we're going to get this basket, we can count on him to do that. And, you know, you go down the history of guys that could do that. I always think of Travis Hanson. Travis Hanson's a guy that's going to get a shot and win games for you. He's kind of a recent guy I think of. And you think, well, Tyler is that guy for us. But he, as great as Tyler is, and maybe one of the greatest ever, he hasn't been good at the end of the games this year for the most part. And so I think that kind of left the team wondering who's going to score for us? Who's going to be the guy to get that? And there was some question in their minds. There was a lack of confidence going late. I think they're turning that around, and not because Tyler's playing better necessarily, but I think other guys are stepping up and say, well, it's going to be me then. If Tyler's not going to do it, it's going to be me. And Kyle showed that the other night against Gonzaga. Skylar Halford is stepping up and hitting some big shots. So I think they're finding some direction on how they're going to get points later, who's going to come through for them, and that gives the team confidence. Then you win a couple games, you get to be confident. You think, I know it's tight, but, hey, we're going to win this. We've done it before. We're going to do it right here. And so I think it was a real struggle earlier, but they seem to have corrected themselves a little bit.
Do you think that BYU should post up Kyle Collinsworth a little bit more, give him more opportunities in the low block?
Well, I think that's an intriguing idea, and the answer is yes, because he often has a great mismatch. You know, whether it's a point guard or a two guarding him, they're always going to be smaller than him. And particularly since you don't have a lot of postmen that are very adept at post moves right now, they're getting better. But
you didn't like that little hip flip, hook shot. I mean, that thing was money from Corbin.
Oh, my word.
That looked like Criddle, man. That looked like me throwing up something.
That was a Criddle. Greg and I looked at each other and thought, man, if that's going in, maybe we can actually win this game. That's no going in. That was something. But, yeah, I mean, Kyle's a, if you go to Provo High, you know how to post up, and he's so good in the paint off the dribble. I think that's a good wrinkle. Whether even Tyler or Frank Bartley or whoever, I think it's a. I always like posting up guards and letting them do their thing down low. I think it creates a lot of mismatches and problems for defenses.
Mark Durant, former BYU basketball star and Cougar IMG sports analyst, on with us here, Cougar Sports ESPN 960. Moving on to the West Coast Conference Tournament, BYU is finally a part of the bracketology in a good sense. And Lunardi has said they are one of the last four in. Still, his verbiage, his rhetoric coming out on social media has been one of I feel like he's begrudgingly putting BYU in. Have you gotten the same sense?
Yeah, I think, you know, BYU was out for all intents and purposes, and I think a lot of these guys made up their mind that that was the case and kind of just dismissed BYU, maybe rightly so. But I think the guys like that, they don't want to admit they're wrong. You know, it's hard to kind of humble yourself and change your mind and say, maybe I was wrong about this team. But, I mean, clearly... right now, BYU's in the tournament. I don't know how you can make a straight-faced argument that they're not. They talk about getting big wins. Well, you just got a big win. All the other metrics are in line. It's not the fact that it's BYU that you're looking at. If you put Duke up there with the exact same resume, there's no question they're in. I mean, it's almost silly at this point to not have BYU in. You say what you want. BYU can just shut up those guys by winning the conference tournament. That'll make no question about it. But, yeah, if they lost the first or second round of the tournament, you'd probably be sweating a little bit again. But right now, I know I'm a BYU homer. I get it. But, come on. Mm-hmm. What else do they need to do to be considered? So we'll see how it plays out. But I think it's funny how hard it is. Once you're kind of considered out of the picture, it's hard to get back in it.
Mark, Andy Katz mentioned today that in one of his video blog posts that in order for BYU to truly be considered a tournament team, they have to at least get to the West Coast Conference Championship. Do you agree?
Well, I think that there's validity to that because then you'll have had a loss. Obviously, the first round would be a devastating loss. Losing to St. Mary's is If you played them in the semis, that wouldn't, you know, it's hard to say. They're a pretty good team. But, yeah, I think to avoid question, you have to get to the finals. That's not to say that BYU couldn't lose in the semis and still get in. I think the committee members are a lot smarter than some of these guys. You saw it last year with the seeding BYU got. People didn't even think they were going to get in the tournament. They get a 10 seed or whatever it was. And so I think the committee knows how good the West Coast Conference is, how good BYU is, and it'll probably, you know, put esteem BYU a lot higher than some of these guys do and some of BYU fans do, actually.
Spring ball's just started up, and I know you're a huge football fan. You've been I know you've been covering basketball for a long time, but what are some of the storylines that you're going to be following during spring ball?
Well, I'm hearing that the Taysom's looking like he's going to participate to a limited extent. That's exciting. You know, he's a huge part of BYU's success next year. So you hope that that's true. But I'm interested to see. I try not to get too worked up. Every year, I think they're going to win a national championship, and every year, I get my heart broken. So I'm going to see what they got and not try and get too excited and keep my expectations low, but, I get excited. I see Kuroma with the 32-inch biceps in the picture the other day, and I'm like, man, this could be a lot of fun. But, yeah, I'm kind of interested with Taysom and Jamal and those guys, see how their health is doing. I think if we can be healthy, that we'll be pretty good.
As always, Mark, it's our pleasure to have you on our airwaves on ESPN, and look forward to doing it again. Have a lovely day. Drive safe. It's a little bit slippery and wet out there, brother. Thanks so much for coming on.
You guys are awesome. Anytime you want me, I'm here.